a series entitled Living a Long, Satisfied Life, and you have your Bibles, go back to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. This is the foundation text for this series, inspiration for this series. Verse 14 says, because He has set His love upon me. I like that. He has set His love upon me. Therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer Him. Just want to encourage you today, if you have any need, call upon Jesus. Call upon Him and you have an assurance that He will answer. I will be with Him in trouble. That's good to know. I will deliver Him and honor Him. And with long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. And we've been saying that the Lord desires for us, His plan for us. You read over in Jeremiah 29 about His plans for us, not to harm us, but to prosper us, to give us a hope and a future. And He's got a long, satisfied life for you. Not just a long life, a long, satisfied life. And the word satisfied, we can compare it to the word abundant in the New Testament, where Jesus said He came to give us life and life more abundantly. This word means superabundant, excessive, overflowing. I like that. Surplus, over and above, more than enough, extraordinary, and more than sufficient. He desires for you to live a long, abundant life. And certainly you have it for all eternity, but while you're here on the earth. And so the basis for living a long, satisfied life is found in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I'll just read it to you. It says this, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Life is a series of choices. How many are glad about that? Ever made the wrong choice? Don't look at your mate when I say that now. You know, our choices have consequences. And so He's saying here, choose life. Choose Him. Choose His way. And so we've been just talking about choices in this series. I talked about choosing Him, choosing His purpose, choosing the right words. And last week I talked about choosing health and healing. And I want to encourage you to get that CD or listen to it over and again, or get it and put it up somewhere to have it, to feed on that. We need to make a choice of choosing health and healing. It's a part of His plan for us. Well, the next choice I want to talk to you today about is choosing love. Choosing love. And I have an interesting scripture to use for this. It's found in 1 Corinthians 11. Turn there if you have your Bibles. Anybody familiar with 1 Corinthians 11? That's the chapter we talk about communion. So I want to actually read these verses from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. All the different choices that I've made sure that the Scriptures talk about specifically living a long life. That's why I've chosen these different things. I want to know what the Bible says. Because you can go online and, I was reading some things last night, what people think about living a long life, and they'll have 30 points and 20 and 14 steps and all these different things. And those are all good, and I value other people's opinion, but I want to hear from the manufacturer. So I've been reading, finding scriptures where he's talking about what are the keys to living a long life. So here in 1 Corinthians 11, let's start with verse 23. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many. Everybody say many.
Many.
Isn't this interesting? Does it say few? Couple. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. And in my Bible, it has a little mark by that word sleep in the center column reference. It says die. You know, the New King James, they just couldn't bear to put that in there. That was just a little drastic. But it's saying, I mean, this is not good. As a pastor, I'm not liking in the congregation to have many that are sick and weak and that are dying left and right. So this is something, some things I want to understand in here, so that we don't have that here. I want people living long, I mean, we're going to be a lot happier if we have people living long, satisfied lives here, right? So part of my goal was to help you with that. So this really intrigues me here. Paul is talking about in the church. This letter is written to a church. It's not talking about in the world. It's talking within the church. Many are sick. Many are weak. And those that are dying. I mean, dying before their time. Before they finish their race. Now, let's talk about real quick about eating and drinking the communion elements in an unworthy manner. Because I think many a child and kids is receiving communion. I know I dealt with this. Is, you know, it's talking about being sick and weak in communion. And I'm going, man, if I'm not right, why, before I receive communion, I'm in trouble. So there was almost a fear, a dread in receiving communion, because I thought, you know, certainly I'm not taking it in a worthy, you know, I'm taking it in an unworthy manner. Now, so the communion table is not for perfect people. Do we have any perfect people in the house? Now turn to your neighbor and just enjoy the moment. Just go ahead and tell them, you're not perfect. Kind of makes you feel good and bad at the same time. You're not perfect. You're not perfect. Now, you're all enjoying that a little too much. Because if communion was about perfect people, nobody could receive. We had a woman years ago. I mean, she's now in heaven. Some people have been here for a while. Remember Carolyn Waddell? Carolyn would not receive a communion at church, because she always felt bad that she was receiving in an unworthy manner. And so she'd hear about we're having communion, and so she wouldn't come. Well, finally I started to trick her, and I wouldn't tell people we're having communion, but she would still find out, and she would not be there. And her problem was her husband, Norman. Norman was a very interesting person, but she did not like the fact that Norman drank. And she would nag him and nag him, and she'd nag him, and she'd nag him so much that he'd go out and get drunk just to prove. And then she'd get mad and would kick him out of the house and lock the door or all the different things. And so she just felt so bad about her relationship with her husband, she couldn't receive communion because she was afraid of receiving in an unworthy manner. She didn't want to die. Be sick. And it's so funny about Norman. I'm driving down. I'm coming off of I-20 onto Washington Road one day, and I pull out. You know, and that's, you know, I'm taking a right onto Washington Road. That's kind of a challenging little area. It's busy trying to get in the road, and you know, so you're just trying to dart in there, do what you can to get in there. So I pull in there, and I didn't know it. I pulled right in front of this guy. He's in a small pickup truck. He comes around me. He's just cussing me. He's giving me the finger. He is mad. You know who it was? It was Norman. Stormin' Norman, I used to call him. And Norman, I had the privilege of sharing the gospel with him. Carolyn was so concerned that he wasn't going to make heaven. So we got that straightened out, that he's going to heaven. But she just had this recurring thing. But I was trying to tell Carolyn, run to Jesus, don't run from him. Run to him. You may have things in your life, recurring problems, but the answer is not to run from God. And I love what Hebrews 4, verse 16. So this should answer the question of whether or not you should receive communion. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says this: let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly, amplified, and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures. So if you come to God, you're going to receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. So if the enemy is ever condemning you, that's not God, about the whole receiving communion, just remember this. Run to him, go ahead and receive, even if you don't feel worthy. You're not, you know, breaking his commands here. All right, but let's talk about this unworthy manner. Then what's he meaning here? Well, because we need to understand this. If we want to live a long, satisfied life, what does this mean, an unworthy manner? Well, it goes on to say, not discerning the Lord's body. So that's the key. If we're receiving communion in an unworthy manner, it means not discerning the Lord's body. And so there's a couple things here that I'll need to point out here that will be helpful. The first part of it is to realize, it says to remember, this is a new covenant. When we receive communion, to receive it in the proper manner is to remember that this is a new covenant. See, the old covenant was based on laws. The old covenant was based on rules and regulations. The old covenant was based on performance. Even in forgiveness, you had to go through all the sacrifices and do everything just right. And then, even then, you didn't even know if you were forgiven. And you never felt the effects of forgiveness. I mean, there was not a lot of joy in the camp. There was a lot of condemnation, a lot of weakness, a lot of backsliding. That's what the law produces. The law does not produce faith. The law does not produce healthy children. And so what he's saying here is remember the new covenant, because my blood was shed and my body was broken for you to reconcile you to God. And that you'll never do anything so bad as not to deserve his grace. And you'll never do anything so good as to earn his grace. That his grace is a free gift. And this is a really difficult thing for, I think we understand it earlier on when we first get saved. And we're kind of walking in that honeymoon of salvation. Is we understand it at that point. But later on, I think we kind of, Paul talks about falling from grace. As we kind of vacillate from earning God's blessings to receiving it. And this is why some folks have a hard time with healing and health and healing, is they don't realize it's all part of salvation. And that's why we talk about faith. Faith is receiving what is yours. So remember the new covenant. Remember the price that he paid. You can't earn it. Now, I mean, it doesn't mean we don't do good things and do good works, but we can't boast about our earning his forgiveness. You know, we tell this story here a lot over the years. I haven't told it in a while, but years ago, before airplanes, a way that people would travel, obviously across the ocean would be take a cruise ship or some kind of ship, transport ship. And so this one particular guy, he scraped everything he had. He wanted to go to America and, the promised land, so to speak. And so he did all he could to scrape his money together and get a ticket. And he had no money left over, just enough to get on there and, you know, meet some relatives on the other side and, you know, just step out there with his life. And so during the ship ride to America, he's got his, you know, cheese and crackers that he's got in his room, and he's got his water, and, you know, just eating a little bit and just barely enough, just, you know, to make it through the journey. Well, he's kind of walking around the different hallways and, you know, getting some exercise, and he walks by the cafeteria, and he's walking by those doors, and he looks in and he sees this big banquet table. You ever been on a cruise ship? I mean, food, there's so much food, it's ridiculous. There's so much food, you don't want to eat anymore. Order 5 entrees and all the different things of everything that you like. I mean, it's almost so you can't even eat anymore. It's just so much. But so he's looking in. He's looking in the window, and he's just drooling because he sees this banquet table with all his favorite stuff. You know, he's from the South. Fried chicken. Everything's fried. Even the desserts are fried. Everything is fried. And he's just watering. He's drooling. And the people in there, they're just having fun. They're sitting at the table. They're laughing. They're just having a good time. And I can just see it. I mean, he's just got his face just pressed up. You know what I'm talking about? And then he goes back to his room. Back to his cheese and crackers. He's starving. He's hungry. They're having all this fun. And he's getting down to the end of the voyage, and he's walking in the hallway. He's going to avoid the cafeteria this time. But one of the stewards sees him, and he says, "Hey, how are you doing?" You know, just talking about things. And he talks to the guy. He says, "Hey, I've noticed you haven't eaten in the cafeteria, the restaurant. What's going on?" "Well, I didn't have any money to go in there and eat and partake of that, and I wanted to, but I just couldn't." And the steward says, "Didn't you know that was included in the ticket?" All that was included in the price of the ticket. And you know, and I think for many of us Christians, we're the same way. God's got the banquet table of all these blessings and all these good things, and we're like the guy looking through the window. Everybody else is enjoying it. They're special. They're privileged. But we don't realize it's a part of the salvation ticket. And we've got to go in. And we've got to receive. Whether we feel worthy or not. See, we will never in ourselves be worthy. But He makes us worthy. He makes us acceptable. And I tell you, this is a journey that we're on, so to speak, and we can vacillate here. But one of the main things, you know, that we're teaching, because, I mean, our mission is empowering people to give life. But in order to get you to the place to give life, we got to just overwhelm you with His love. And talk about how good He is, because God's been lied about. Trying to change your image of God and your image of Jesus. That Jesus wants you healed. He wants you blessed. He wants your relationship reconciled. He's got a plan, an awesome plan for your life. He wants you to have this abundant life. He's not trying to keep you from it. And even people that have heard this still, We struggle with this. And that's why we've got to remember. We need to meditate on it and go to the Word and confess it over and over and over until it gets in us. Paul talked about even praying about it. Nothing can separate you from His love. Not a demon, not an angel, not sin, not weakness can separate you from His love. So we're going to keep on hammering that, you know, who you are in Christ and God's love and the love of the Father. I love the story of the prodigal son or it's really the story of the loving Father. I never tire of that. I've read it probably 1,000 times. I never get tired of that. And I just see all the time that image of the Father running, breaking all his customs and rules, and running towards the Son and not wanting to hear any of his story, but then just loving on him. See, Jesus introduced something new to the earth. Of course, grace. But it's actually, in the Greek, it's the word agape. He introduced agape love to the world. And agape love is an amazing thing for us to realize what it is, because it's how God loves us. And this will help you here. It's benevolence and goodwill that always seeks the highest good of the other person. It's not based on what the person does. See, it's love not based on performance. It's love based on value. I value you. You don't deserve it, but I value you. I love you. I'm benevolent towards you. And we might say unconditional love. Unconditional love is powerful because so much about love that we deal with in the world is conditional. You love me, I'll love you. You do good things for me, I'll do good things for you. But see, that's not what God's talking about here. It's giving freely without asking anything in return and doesn't consider the worthiness of the object of your love. So agape love is love based on a decision. And it really should be how our marriages are. It's not based on how they perform. It's based on a decision. And it's not based on emotions. Thank God for emotions. I love emotions. I love, you know, the feelings, and I love Valentine's Day and all of that different, you know, the feelings. But this agape love is a higher love, because the world's got a love. But again, it's conditional. They don't understand what we're talking about here. And this is God's love. And so the second part of not discerning the Lord's body has to do with, and you're not going to like this, but our love for others. Our love for other people. That this agape love that we've been so transformed by, this unconditional love, is to so get in us and so saturate us that we're then turn to love others. And so the communion table is not a time, and again, I'm not talking about one time or even several times, but continually. The communion table is not a time to come with division, hatred, bitterness, contempt, unforgiveness against a person or a group. Now let me just stop there for a moment. You know, look at about in Augusta, Georgia. How much has the attitude of whites and blacks, other colors towards each other, hindered this city from being what it was meant to be? And this goes back years and years and years and years. But this hatred, this feelings towards others, that's not godly. It's not God's plan. It's not God's will. So this bitterness and hatred, I mean, it can be against a person. It can be against a group. And so what we're talking about is not, again, a one-time thing, but it's holding on to a grudge. It's holding on to something. It's holding on until you're waiting. What you're really waiting for is for that person to be punished, to get what they deserve. But that's not God. That's not godly. So the second part of receiving communion in an unworthy manner or not discerning the Lord's body is in how we treat others, in our love for others. Because God is love. That's what He is. God is agape. And so for the discipleship process to work, discipleship is about transformation of our lives. It's about transformation into, to although we are in Him, to being like Jesus in the world. And it's a process. But for you to truly, what does it say? We will know that you are disciples by your love one for another. That's how we know that you're growing in the discipleship process, when you're growing in your love for other people. So this is how it works. You're transformed by God's amazing love. Over and over, not just when you're saved, over and over and over until it gets in you. Or until you have, we would say, a revelation of it. And you see God as gracious. You see God as good. You see God as loving. You see God as kind and caring and compassionate. That's an image that's changed from the Word. I mean, and so you're actually changed. And then what happens? It so changes you that you go against human nature and begin to show others the same love which you've been given by God. That's why our churches should be different. That's why believers should be different. And I think the world is disappointed because they see no difference in the love in the church than outside the church. Because we've not gotten a revelation of agape, God, the God kind of love. And for it to be a revelation, it's got to be by the Spirit of God. It's not something you can just academically study. It's got to be a revelation to you. And that's where faith is involved. An openness to God and to His plan. An openness to the Spirit of God. Now, I know what you're thinking already, and I certainly deal with this, and I'll share why in just a moment here. But I know when you hear about agape love, you immediately your mind is thinking, I can't do it. Well, first of all, I say Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have it on my desk, a little plaque that says, it can be done. I may not know how. I may not feel like it can be done, but I believe in Him it can be done. But you're thinking, I just can't do it. I can't love like that. Well, I got a good scripture for you. Romans 5, verse 5. Amplified says this. This is good news for you. Everybody say, I like good news. You know, a good news church, we ought to have good news, right? It's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. Romans 5, verse 5, Amplified says this, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts. Poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. While we're yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time Christ died for in behalf of the ungodly. Now it is an extraordinary thing for one to give his life, even for an upright man, though perhaps for a noble and lovable and generous benefactor, someone might even dare to die. But God shows and clearly proves His own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. So what I want to say to you is, we may feel it that we can't love like God, but I want you to know that you can, because His love is shed, is put in our hearts. When you're born again and the Holy Spirit's in there, He just pours that love on the inside of you. So it's there. But the big question is, are we going to tap into it? Now, you know, it's the same thing with all the different parts of being a believer. We receive our inheritance of who we are in Christ that the minute we're born again, all of the inheritance is ours. It's all available, but you can't partake of what you don't know about. You have to know it. You got to know the truth, right? It's the truth that you know and understand that sets you free. That's why we have training. That's why we have teaching. And we are so blessed today with all the everything that we've got to teach and to train. But to know these things and to understand. And so how do we partake of who we are in Christ? We receive it by faith. How do we partake of health and healing? We receive it by faith. How do we receive of the blessings of God? We receive it by faith. Saved by grace through faith. Healed by grace through faith. Blessed by grace. We don't earn it. It's not by performance. It's by grace. His unmerited favor because He loves us. Because He values us. But we can't tap into salvation until we believe for it. We believe it and we confess it. So in order for this love to operate, I mean, who wants the agape love flowing through? That means if we're going to have it, it's going to be an act of our will and it's going to be by faith. We've got to believe for it. Even if we fail, anybody ever failed? Even if we fail and fail, what do? What were we taught by our parents? Get back up. You're never going to be a good boxer unless you get back up. You get knocked down, but you got to get back up. We're going to fail in this love game. We're going to fail probably miserably. You may have failed this morning. You may have failed miserably this week, but I want to tell you, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Don't give up. Don't quit. It's in there. Sometimes you got to do a little drilling. Some oil wells take a little longer to drill, but it's in there. Once you tap in, we're going to hit a gusher. But I want you to know, when you tap into that and hit that gusher and you walk in that God kind of love, that's who you are. That's the real you. And I know, and for many in the body of Christ, we just get glimpses and they don't really know how that happened. It was like, you know, luck. But when that comes out, that's who you are. And we all want more of you being who you really are. Husbands and wives can say amen. Amen. Now, I read this, and I've been just doing some funny searches on the internet. First of all, what people think, you know, to live a long life. I mean, 30 different things. I mean, good gracious. The things they come up with. But I did a little search on this. I did a little search on love and your physical health. And this is, again, this is not based on agape love. This is just based on human love, eye for an eye thing, you know. They talk about the power of love. Love is so powerful. Giving and receiving love lengthens your life. Wards off stress. Boosts your immune system. Lowers your blood pressure. Lowers your cholesterol. So walk in love and eat Cheerios. Hastens the healing of wounds. That's why it's good for the mothers to kiss the little boo-boo. There's actually power there. In your kisses. Lowers the risk of dementia. I mean, who wants to have a less risk of dementia? Keeps you looking and feeling younger. Who wants that? I'm going to start loving today. Ah, you got me there. Again, this is just natural human love. Lack of love causes isolation, which increases the risk of early death by 5 times. So bitterness, strife, division, hatred. If love produces these things, then the opposite, what does it produce? And so that's, I think, what Paul's saying. You know, if we're going to discern the Lord's body, part of it is remembering the new covenant, but part of it is remembering there's a purpose to the new covenant beyond just yourself. And that's what part of growing up as a believer is, getting beyond myself and realizing there's a whole world out there and they are starving and desperate for love. What's the secret for parenting? Having love in your home. Showing your kids love. What's the secret to marriages? Love. Now that's easier said than done. But I'll tell you this. I've been talking about, you know, struggling with forgiveness. Anybody here struggling with forgiveness ever have in your life? Maybe you're just sitting here and you say, I just can't forgive Pastor Matt today. Well, I'm just going to say to you, that's ridiculous. No. But I've been struggling with forgiving. I'm a forgiving person. It's always in one of the first things I did after I got saved, and I just felt led by the Holy Spirit, I went to 7 different people and apologized to them for my behavior and asked for their forgiveness. I mean, it was just so much in me. I mean, just the change. But so I'm always been, you know, quick to forgive, but I've been dealing with something that's been hard for me. And my flesh is saying, and this is the way that my flesh is saying, I don't want to forgive. You know what I'm talking about? I know I'm supposed to, but I just don't want to. I don't want to forgive. But then the little voice inside says, forgive. You know the scriptures. Forgive. So I just turn up my, you know, MP3 player and turn up the music. But even no matter how loud the music gets, forgive, forgive, forgive. Rats! Holy Spirit, I shouldn't say this, but sometimes I hate you. I have to repent over that. And so he helped me, and I looked at Philippians 4:13, talked about that and the power infusion, and I began to open myself to God. I said, God, I can't do this. And he said to me, well, what's new? What's new? I can't do this. I can't do this in yourself. He said, well, why don't you ask for my help? And so I began to do that. I began to pray that. And every day I was saying, you know, and it was hard. Lord. Forgive them. And it was hard at first. And then I have all bunch of thoughts and just casting them down and just mad. I don't want to forgive them. But then I just, okay, and I'm going to do this by faith. I'm going to forgive them and just praying that. And then start praying for them. Oh, that's the worst. praying for them. They don't deserve it. They don't. They don't deserve my prayers. This is a waste of time. But I just started praying for them, and then being able to say, you know, I forgive them. And you want to know what? I'm not 100%, but I'm probably about 93.75% along the way, and I'm going to continue until I'm 100%, until it's in my past, where I don't want any judgment for them. And only God can help you with that. But you, just like salvation, nobody can make you get saved. Nobody can make you get to tithe. If I could do that, I mean, I would have done that years ago. Lord knows I tried. But I can't. We got will. People's will involved. And so, your will, you've got to be open here. And this is hard. This is really, you know, the nuts and bolts of life, what I'm talking about right here, because life is all about relationships, and we make it about stuff and careers and all these other things, and politics and power and all those things. But really, the whole deal about the world is people. That's the whole deal about the gospel. It's all about relationships, and it's all about people. So you opening your heart to Him and asking Him to help. Now, I'm going to close with this verses from 1 Corinthians 13. And I know you probably absolutely hate it every time we read this here. But you can read it two ways. 1 Corinthians 13, you can read it two ways. First of all, this is how God loves you. And then secondly, with God's help, this is how you're going to love. And we believe it by faith, and we receive it by faith. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, this is Message, says this: if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. That's what a lot of our churches are. The creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all His mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, that's a good thing, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swelled head. Man, you need to listen to that one. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back. Keeps going to the end. Love never dies. New King James, which I absolutely love, says love never fails. It will never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, ever fail. Amen. Love will always produce. Love will always win. Love will always bring victory. Love will always bring success. Even just like faith and certain things we do, you may not see it at first. You got to keep on loving. Keep on loving. You got to have the big picture. You got to, you know, where you're going, keep on, keep on, keep on. It will produce. In verse 13, but for right now, until that completeness, talking about the end of time, we have three things to do. Three things to do to lead us towards that consummation. Trust steadily in God. It's faith, right? The Bible says faith works by love. Trust steadily in God. Hope unswervingly. But hope, you know, is a purpose. And any purpose without people involved is not a purpose from God. Love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. Now, I know you read through that, it's just like, you know, not doing that, not doing that, not doing that, certainly not doing that. But we can read it and believe it and confess it and by faith latch onto it. And like everything else in the faith walk, it will come. It will come. I've shared this story in before about, I just want you to know I'm not perfect today. Sean, you know that. I'm not perfect, but I messed up one time, just one time in our marriage. And I was just ready. I deserved to be blasted, and I deserved to get it, to be rebuked, to be punished. And Susie, for whatever reason, I've never really asked her why, but she decided to grace me. You know what I'm talking about? Just forgave me, graced me, didn't make a big deal out of it, just graced me. And when she did that, I physically felt something in my body, physically. And I felt a change on the inside occur when she did that. Isn't that amazing? I can picture it to this day. I mean, just something happened when she did that, happened in me. Love is powerful. It's a powerful thing. And what I was going to say earlier is, I mean, there are people, they're just starving for it. They're just starving for it out there. If you're just even a little bit of light, I mean, just saying hi to somebody, smiling at somebody, doing a good deed. I was in Publix the other day. I was getting a couple things, and all the lines were full, and I came up to this one aisle, and this lady had this big cart, and she just said, "Why don't you?" Said she just got a couple things. "Why don't you just come up in front of me?" She graced me. She didn't have to do that, but when I did that, I just felt so good. That simple little thing, I just felt so good. I just enjoyed paying my money. I was so nice to the cashier. I mean, it's like my whole world. I mean, and I just turned to her. I mean, because it's so sad, but you see so little of it. I just turned to her and said, "Thank you for blessing me." And you know what she said, which I love? She said, "My pleasure." Yes. That just put me over the top right there. She could have said, "No problem," and it would have been all right, but she said, "My pleasure." I walked out of there. I mean, how many know the grocery store is not usually this exciting experience? I just came out of there. Woohoo! I'm blessed. In that little thing, so a good news church, the deal here is we're empowering people to give life. And so we're talking about God's life and God's love. And we talk about that all the time. But our ultimate goal, which where we're going as a disciple and a follower of Christ, is to get folks in the place to give life. Because we know that's where the excitement and the most rewarding part of life is in giving. And being a blessing. You can do this. You, not in yourself. You can do this by faith. As we're closing up today, I just, a lot of things may be happening right here. First of all, you may have someone in your heart you need to forgive. And maybe you haven't been able to do that. And I just want you to maybe pray my prayer and say, "Lord, help me today." And maybe we'll just take even a moment to pray for that person. But then the other part of it is just say, open myself up and say, "Lord, I want you to use me. I want to be Jesus to this world. I want your love to flow through me like he's talking about today. And open up yourself to him and say, Lord, help me with this. So let's just take a moment. Let's do some of those things right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your help right now, Father. Several things. I know there's a lot going on with people here today. People have all kind of needs and all kind of situations and things they're dealing with. Maybe they got a problem with, Lord, the color of someone's skin. And this may take some time, but and they know it's not right. Holy Spirit, help us with that right now in the name of Jesus. Help us just to let that go. Let it go. Lord, maybe we have got something against someone and they've hurt us and they've done things to us. Lord, help us right now to forgive. Help me to forgive, Father. And say a kind word about them. Pray for them right now. In the name of Jesus. We don't want to see judgment come. We don't want to see them punished. That's what our flesh wants. That's not what the Spirit of God wants. And actually, by your forgiveness and by your prayers, you'll change the situation. It'll change. And you may not see it in the natural realm at first. It'll start by changing in you, but you'll actually see a difference in the natural realm. And then, Lord, right now, too, we just open our hearts and that 1 Corinthians 13 love. We just ask you to help us, Lord. Let that love just flow through us today. That's what we want to be like. That's who we are. That love that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You empower us to do that. Infuse us with inner strength. Infuse us with this great agape love. And let it flow through us like never before. And that our worlds will change. Our marriages will change. With our kids will change. At work will change. Because love is there. When we show up, love arrives. When we show up, Jesus arrives. Light comes. And wherever we go about healing and being a blessing and doing good. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you right now. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I want you to know today you're forgiven. I want you to know today whatever you've done, your sins are forgiven. I want you to know, you know, he's got no record of your sin in heaven. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He's for you. Has an awesome plan for your life. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, today's your day.